When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Well, we can circle back to my three for Thursday. I had, as I think, three most important things to get out: Jeremy Swayman bouncing back, Marco Sturm proving he's the right head coach for this team, and James Hagans reaffirming like a legit number one center of the future. Do you guys have anything else? Like what? Whether you think something should replace one of those three or even just key developments beyond those.
I think those are three really good ones, Scott. I mean, obviously the Hagans one, if we're going to count that as, if we're going to focus strictly on the on-ice product in Boston next year, that's the only way that might get pushed to the side for a third one there. But in a similar vein, I feel like a young forward prospect not named James Hagans has to make an impact on the Boston roster next year. So I'm looking at a Matt Patra first and foremost. Obviously, Fraser Minton is somebody we expect to get some minutes. What does Fabian Lysell make of his opportunity in training camp? What about, albeit a little bit older, but like a Matei Blumel or I'm forgetting on his first name, but last name Steves they got from Toronto. Like could one of those historically
Alex Steves could
one of those historically prolific AHL scorers, can they make of an opportunity? Somebody has to step up that is 25 years of age or younger, in my opinion. We all expect James Hagans to be one of those players, but he can't do it himself as the next wave. So I want somebody to step up. I mean, I think getting back the structure and identity and the special teams, that probably falls under the Marco Sturm camp. So I'll just leave that one alone. But yeah, I would say somebody else besides Hagans, somebody youthful, has to step up offensively.
Scott, what was your first one?
Swayman bouncing back.
I have one. I have a third one that I think could maybe replace the Hagans one. And it is establishing new on-ice leadership. So finding your voices that are going to be your voices going forward. So that means because Marchand was here for such a big chunk of the season, Pastrnak and McAvoy only really had to step up in a bigger way at the end of the year after the trade deadline. And I think that there's still a lot of work probably in just feeling comfortable and having that role for a longer amount of time. Obviously, they need to choose another captain as well. So establishing your captain, establishing your voices in the room, as we mentioned, some of those guys were out, Marchand obviously, but Coyle and Carlo, I think, were also guys that would fall under that. So getting those, just kind of almost a new hierarchy, new chemistry, a new way of working through what the leadership group is going to look like and how it can be effective.
Yeah, and McAvoy really didn't even get the chance to do that correctly because he was injured, he was out, he was rehabbing, he wasn't with the team on the road on trade deadline day. Pastrnak at least got legit on the job learning experience. McAvoy, really didn't get that opportunity, which actually kind of ties into one of the other ones I was debating, including, which is McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm, A, being healthy, B, staying healthy, and C, playing really well, the legit one and two defensemen that they can be. I think that's so important. Not obviously for this season, yes, but also moving forward. It's those two guys are your rocks on the back end, and they need to play like it. They need to look like it, and they need to stay on the ice in order to be able to do that.
To that point, Scott, how would you and Bridget, how would you guys classify or analyze Charlie McAvoy's on ice performance, take injuries aside, how would you categorize his performance since the conclusion of the 22-23 season. So the centennial season and then the first half of last year. Because if we rewind the clocks back to the centennial season, there were times there as well where he was not maybe what we were used to seeing at times. It feels like it's been a little bit longer than just last year for him. So, because I remember heading into last year, we talked about like, can McAvoy kind of bounce back? Can he hit that? Can he finally hit that 60 point plateau that he's been so close to a few times? And then we all know what happened last year. So it seems to me like I want to see, and again, there's the McAvoy we saw at Four Nations that was just dominant and with the best players in the world on the ice. And it just makes you want to see that player more often. So it's a great suggestion, Scott. And I know you didn't go with it, but I can see why it's on your mind right now.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, you know, to describe his play, like inconsistent up and down, because I do think there were some ups in there too. I see people like make comments like McAvoy's been bad for a few years. And I'm like, I don't think that's accurate. I don't think he's been bad. I think there's been some bad games or bad stretches. I also think there's been a lot of good.
Underwhelming, but, maybe could be a word to describe it.
Underwhelming works. But yeah, you want to see more consistently high level play from him. You know, and there's extenuating circumstances there, whether it has been some injuries, you know, especially with his shoulder that he's battled, even beyond the infection. You know, that was something he was dealing with. Like, again, you need that to be healthy. Like, Charlie McAvoy without a healthy shoulder doesn't really get to play like Charlie McAvoy. Like, he's a physical player. You know, he needs to be able to feel confident that he can throw his body around. And then like the centennial year, I think Matt Grizzlick's play really dropped off that season. Like, that's a factor. I'm sure that affected McAvoy, who was still partnered with him the vast majority of that season. You know, at other times it was like they would try Derek Forbert with them. That wasn't a fit. Last year it's Nikita Zadorov just coming in and struggling early on. And then it's a young kid in Mason Lorai who is clearly still learning, but like, that's going to be the same thing this year. You know, that holds McAvoy back a little, but he needs to be good enough to elevate whoever he's with. Like, he still needs to be at a high level. And then, yeah, if there's limitations with your partner, like, you still got to find a way to get the most out of them and, you know, still be a good pairing for this team. So, I think he's been a little bit inconsistent when he's been out there the last couple of years.
Before we, Bridget, I'll keep that offline, I suppose, unless you want to talk about it. But Scott, to that point, and Bridget, I want you guys, both of your opinions on this. We've seen McAvoy play with an array of defensive partners. We've seen him play with somebody like Hampus Lindholm, who is, when he was going in his prime, like certainly like a very high-end defenseman, right? We've seen him play with Derek Forbert, who is more or less like a third pair shutdown defenseman should be. We've seen him play with Matt Grizzlick, like Scott mentioned, who is like the smaller puck moving, strong skating, you know, borderline, you know, at times, sometimes very much so top four defenseman. And then Nikita Zadorov, like the big guy that's not the most mobile, but kind of a stay at home, but can, you know, whatever, play that role. Then Mason Lorai, who's like the younger player that's very, very raw defensively, but has offensive upside. So we've seen McAvoy play with all sorts of partners to the point you're making, Scott. What would you like to see a defensive partner mold look like for Charlie McAvoy? Do you think he would work best with somebody where McAvoy can be the alpha? Do you think he works best with somebody where they can kind of both, you know, tug on the same rope as an alpha, like a Lindholm, for example? Like, what do you think would make him thrive? I know it remains to be seen, so we're kind of guessing here, but just knowing the type of player he is, do you think he would thrive knowing he's the guy on a pair, or do you think he would like somebody who's more his equal?
It's a good question. I mean, obviously, like, he's been successful in kind of both spots, right? I mean, early in his career, he's with Chara, and that starts off with Chara being the alpha, and then kind of while they're paired together, it starts to flip where, like, I couldn't pinpoint the exact date, but I remember having these conversations at the time, you know, obviously not on here. We weren't doing the podcast yet, but just with people of like, hey, I think McAvoy is actually the better player on that pairing now. Like that kind of came while they were playing together. And then obviously with Grizz, like McAvoy was always the alpha. Like he was clearly the top guy in that pairing. I think stylistically, at least in the regular season, now whether it can continue in playoff hockey is a related but almost separate debate. But I think McAvoy's best stretches in the regular season come with someone who can play more of an offensive game with him. Like, I think now multiple coaches have tried the idea of like, well, maybe put more of a stay at home security blanket with him, and that frees up McAvoy. And it never really seems to quite work that way. I think what actually seems to free up McAvoy is when he's with someone else who can carry their weight offensively and in transition. And because then you get like a whole 5-man unit just attacking more. And I think that brings out McAvoy's strength. So on this team, that would be Mason Lauri, which is why even with Lauri's deficiencies, I do actually want to see that pairing. And it is how I would start the season.
Yeah. And I guess the other part of it too, is the Hampus Lindholm side of like him being healthy and him being back to the level that we saw him play at in the beginning of, was it the 22-23 season when McAvoy was out? That was probably the best he's played as a Bruin. Which is kind of a high bar, because that was, I mean, he looked like he was going to have, he was the best defenseman for a good chunk of that season, obviously with McAvoy.
I mean, he finished fifth in Norris yeah. Trophy voting.
He was just on his game. He was great transitioning offensively. Really was a bummer when he got hurt last season when he did, because he was one of the only guys that was still kind of clicking offensively. And he, because at the time, team was struggling. That was as we were all debating whether or not Monty was going to get fired. And it was, you know, it was a low point. And then Lindholm goes down, and that's a big loss. And so him coming back is, and being fully healthy, is really a true question mark to me, because he was supposed to come back in last season and wasn't able to, because there was an issue with the fix to his knee. It was uncomfortable and had to go back and, you know, do a little maintenance on that again. It pushed him back to being able, from what he could start to really truly, I don't think he ever practiced in full contact, right? Like he was back to skating during the season. Yeah. Then they called it off.
Yeah, he practiced, but I don't think he ever, I don't remember if he shed the no contact jersey at any point.
I don't think he did. I think he just was non-contact. Maybe I'm wrong, but then he had to take a step back. He got off the ice, and I don't believe he got back on until May. Obviously that was in the off season, but like I said, he had the setback, so he'll be ready for training camp. He's expected to be, you know, full contact for that, but knee injuries are serious, and how his body recovers from it and you know, the surgery that he had, is sometimes that can be really difficult for guys. Yeah,
well, especially the fractured kneecap. Like I think I probably even said it on here, like right when Rich Keefe reported that, and obviously it ended up being correct, so credit to Scoops Keefe. I was like, man, I really hope that's just like a hairline fracture, like a very minor thing. And it turned out it was more serious than that. Like it's a tough one, and not to be like Debbie Downer, but I'm very much of the mindset of like, I'm going to need to see him look like Hampus Lindholm and like skating great and all that, because unfortunately, like we've seen examples before where guys really never quite get back right from this. Like Kevin Miller, obviously being the most famous example or infamous, but you know, there were extra circumstances there too. Like he pushed himself, and he would even admit this, you know, basically harder than he should have, because he wanted to get back for the playoffs. And ultimately that was the wrong approach. So they have definitely played this much safer with Hampus and really taken the time that he needs. But I don't know about you guys, but like, I'm still kind of going to be like holding my breath until you'd see like, all right, now it's been like several really good days of training camp and he looks really good out there.
Yeah.
I agree. The good news is like he didn't end up playing hockey at the end of last season. Yeah. So, I mean, he has had as much time. I mean, by the time the regular season comes around, he'll have been on the shelf for about 10 and a half months. So, I mean, hopefully time heals for him. But, you know, I just think back to when the Bruins acquired him at the trade deadline back in 2022. I believe their decor at the time was some combination of McAvoy, Grizzlick, Carlo, Jeremy Lozon, maybe Zaboral, Forbert was in the mix. But my point is, McAvoy was like it was McAvoy, and then it was a cast of others, right? That had different strengths and weaknesses, but none of them were really elite. I remember the first game that Lindholm played for the Bruins was at home against Tampa Bay, and he just immediately jumped off the page. He was a one-man breakout, and he had a phenomenal game. Maybe it was a boost of being, you know, playing your first game with somebody, but it was immediate. Oh wow! Like, this is what the Bruins have been missing. Like, somebody else to go along with McAvoy to carry the load on the blue line. So, you know, that like he's a very impactful player when he's going. To your guys' point, we'll see if that can happen for them, because if he can be that player for them, then yeah, it changes their blue line around. I mean, you missed him, you missed McAvoy for, let's call it, just under half of last season. Now, I still think they're a true top four defenseman short, but I mean, a lot's been talked about the Bruins forward grouping and how, yeah, it's probably on paper a bottom five, six forward group in the league. Like, even teams that are projected to finish worse than the Bruins, like San Jose and Anaheim, if we're talking forward groupings, their forward groupings are deeper. It's just that Boston's blue line has a McAvoy and a Lindholm, but those teams don't.
The Bruins have a Pasternak, and
yeah, of course. No, of course, but like, he's one guy of 12, yeah. Right? So I guess my point is the Bruins offensive group on paper might be a bottom. It is a bottom 10 team on paper. Let's call it, right. But
yeah,
their blue line on paper, middle of the league, maybe upper middle of the league. So
yeah, like that's one thing we kind of talked about this before, like after all the moves, you know, go through like the daily faceoff lineups, there aren't a lot of deep blue lines out there. Like, You'll notice that pretty quickly. Like, there's some, but you're right. Like, I think on paper, yeah, Bruins are top half at worst, I would think. Now, they got to play like it. Like, you got to go and do it. But yeah, that's not a bottom of the league group, at least on paper.
No, if healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If healthy and if playing without limitation.